Continuing my story, and it gets stranger, we're into flying saucers now, and how God used an advertisement on flying saucers to reveal himself to me. Colin Cook here, and how it happens. Thank you very much for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on Good News. You know, God has crazy ways of getting to us, and he certainly used crazy ways to get to me, and I thank him for it with all my heart. You know, the good news is what enables us to endure in this world and to know Jesus Christ. And as our faith is trained in him and in what he has done, we break through the struggles of our lives, whether they be addictions, drugs, alcohol, food issues, heterosexual or homosexual addiction, or the worries and the anxieties and the problems of life. So keep tuning in to train your faith, and my story might have something in it that speaks to your heart too. And so I moved forward in my adolescence, feeling strange, feeling disconnected, curious about so many things, wanting to understand what was going on inside and out there. I got fascinated by supernatural phenomena, by levitation, by extrasensory perception, by hypnotism and spiritism. All kinds of strange things. I just was curious and looking everywhere. You know, it may be difficult for an American to understand that in England we were really so very devoid in general culture of Christian thought. There's an underlying evangelical kind of spirit in America. You can still talk about God in a free kind of way, relatively speaking, to England anyway. And it seemed to me in those days that there was just nothing. There was a void, and I was moving slowly into the dark places in search for something. I went to work at the age of 15. You had the opportunity then to split off at the age of 11 by the 11 plus exam, I think it was called, either into high school or to a manual kind of training. So I left school at 15 and joined and was employed at a newspaper office. My dad had found me a job in the newspaper, the local newspaper, where I was going to do work in the advertising department. I worked in that department for a few months and then was transferred to the copy department, where I read the copy that was to be printed that night. And the man next to me, he corrected it, and then it was ready for the newspaper. Well, some months into that, a bouncy little middle-aged man came into the area where we were working, and he said, "Hey, look at this," and he gave this to me. And he was checking out a copy, the copy for a display ad that was to appear in the newspaper. And it said, "Man from another world." And he said, "You're interested in flying saucers and you're interested in stuff like that. You might like to go to this." I noticed that it was on the same date that I had arranged to go to a meeting on spiritism. My aunt, my great aunt, one of my great aunts, I had many of those, was a spiritist. She took the a piece of material from a dead person, a handkerchief or something, and she would then go into a trance and talk to people about what this dead person was saying. And so she told me about this spiritism thing, and I decided I would go, and I went to that meeting, to one of those meetings, and this woman in front of the church, so-called church, it was a church actually, now used for a spiritist seance, and she went into a trance and she said, "There's a man, there's someone here who has a relative named William." Well, my grandfather was named William and he had died a year or two before, and he said, "There's a message for you," and the message was that you will be all right. Everything is okay. That was the message, and that was it. And I thought, well, I'd go to the next one. But then I was so fascinated by this subject of flying saucers because it was quite a phenomenon in the 1950s. And George Adamski, an amateur astronomer in California had claimed that he had seen a Venusian come down in a spaceship, so I was going to go to this. It sounded just incredible. I got excited about it. I was looking forward to it. It was on a September chill, cold evening in England, especially during those gale winds, gale force winds sometimes in Grimsby, and I remember getting all wrapped up and warm, and the meeting was to be in the Manor Cafe, which was a dance hall just above a cafe somewhere in town. I went to this meeting, and my goodness, it was strange. There was hardly anybody there. There were about, well, maybe 18 or 20 people. They were all elderly or middle-aged, they seemed to be, and then there was this guy, fairly youngish, relatively handsome, and he was in a black suit and a collar and tie, and he started a presentation and stood there with a Bible in his hand. And I wondered what it was all about. I didn't have long to wait. He spent the next, what would it be, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, describing the second coming of Jesus Christ. He pulled out all the verses that talked about that coming, that Jesus Christ would ride down the skies in the glory of his Father with all the holy angels. In the last days, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we who remain shall be made alive with an eternal body. That the world would be broken up, and the rocks would fall upon those who had rejected Christ, and those who believed in him would say, "Lo, this is our God, and we have waited for him, and he will save us." I had never heard such talk in my life. Yes, we went to Sunday school. We never heard anything like this. Yes, we had a Bible. Well, my sister Pam had a Bible, and it happened to be just by the front door, by the little folding desk at the front door, and it was always in cellophane paper, and nobody ever opened it. I was absolutely enthralled. I couldn't believe there was something in the Bible like this, and nobody had ever talked about it. I immediately believed. I had joy unspeakable, and I really mean unspeakable. I could not explain this joy I had. The sense that there was someone at last, there was someone at home in the universe, that the universe was not black, was not dark, was not full of space with no one home. There was a sense in me that Jesus Christ was coming back for me. I felt that Jesus would surely come in about 6 months' time, and suddenly I was aware that the emptiness, the void in my soul was filled. I didn't learn anything about Jesus dying on the cross for me. I didn't learn anything about sin. I simply heard this message of the second coming of Jesus, and the joy was beyond anything I could imagine. They gave us little books at the end, not just little pamphlets, a book on that I can remember. It was called Our Lord's Return by Carlyle B. Haynes. That book is still available today. I picked up that book. It was about 100-page or 120-page little book, and I went home and just soaked it up. Every single word, everything about our Lord's return, the signs of the times, the coming of Jesus, the fact that there would be a new earth, a new world in which there would be joy everlasting and we would live with God our Father forever. It was like light coming to my darkness. It was joy filling my soul. It was a sense there was home. There was a home at last in the universe. And I'll tell you, I began to realize as the years went by that every void that I felt in my soul, the void from my dad being absent, a good man, a working man, a man who provided for his family, but simply could not be there enough for my lonely soul, a void from my absent dad, a void created by the fears and terrors of the Second World War. Not that I knew much about that Second World War, but only the drones, the planes going over in that drone sound, and the sirens, and the fear that the Nazis would invade and take away my parents. The void that came from polio, feeling different, feeling that I wasn't connected and bonded, couldn't bond because I was peculiar and strange. And then the void that slowly developed into a sexual orientation that left me feeling different and alone and isolated and wishing I could relate to Sam, but Sam had come and gone. All of that void was a preparation by my Heavenly Father, who took evil and made use of it. Remember, he didn't create evil, but he took evil and made use of it to create such a hunger in my soul that once I heard the second coming, about the news, the good news, the glorious news of the second coming of Jesus, my soul would take great joy in it as a 15-year-old boy. September 1955. I believe I was converted that day, though I did not understand about Jesus' death and resurrection for me, but I was converted that day. I knew Jesus was coming for me. I went home, I read my little book, I sneaked my sister's Bible, opened it and read it. She complained later and said, "What are you doing reading my Bible?" She never read it herself, as if she cared, but that was it. Those days, Bibles were just ritualistic things that you kept on the shelf as a memorial of your whatever, maybe a Sunday school graduation or something. And so my parents, they wondered what in the world was happening to me, but I was reading my Bible day and night. I had found that God was at home in his universe, and that he had tricked me by a message on flying saucers. There are all kinds of ways in which people come to Jesus Christ, and you know, this radio broadcast might be one of them that leads someone to Jesus Christ too, as you help to support it. When you help to support this broadcast, you are not only helping yourself, but you may well be helping somebody else who might be driving a truck on the highway at 10 in the evening or 4 in the morning, and he just aimlessly turns the broadcast on, and lo and behold, he hears something that really stirs his faith. So I would like to invite you to become a supporter of this broadcast with the thought that you may be witnessing to someone else about the awesome truth of Jesus Christ having arrived into this world. Would you do that? If you can afford $10 a month, or $50, or $10, $20, or $25, 100, 200, or just 5, it would be so very helpful. So I would like to invite you to send your first check to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. And I will send you my Cook's Monthly Message at present on the Book of Hebrews as a thank you, unless you wish no literature. And just state that if you do. So, let me give you the address again, FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. If you would like to make the donation by PayPal, you can go to the website, faithquestradio.com, faithquestradio.com. Now, you can make a donation one time, or monthly, or quarterly, or annually, or biannually. Thank you very much, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.